me it gets better. Say that it gets better. O-P-S, I'm gay-ish.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish,
the podcast that thinks you're so unbearably hot, it wants to shoot itself in the face with your dick.
I mean, does the hotness really matter to you?
You just any dick is cool? Yeah. I mean, there's a certain selection criteria that goes into it.
Okay, top three.
Dick, alive, in my bed.
Great. Very discerning.
Yep.
I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz.
And we're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality.
We're back in the studio, which is now what we, I guess, call here.
My living room.
Living room.
Dining room.
After our live show. So now I'm feeling a little less pressure.
Yeah, we did a live show.
We did a live show, yeah. And
talked about blowjobs in front of a bunch of people.
Obviously, we talked about blowjobs.
You know, I thought having it be friends, because we started small. I thought doing it with friends, that it would actually make it easier. No, I was far more self-conscious because it was people that we knew.
Yeah, like sometimes when you're on stage, the lights are so bright on the stage that you can't see anyone out there and you can just pretend they don't exist. Mm-hmm. But we couldn't do that because like we need to get, I'm just waiting for our, you know, 3,000 person symphony hall that we're going to perform at next.
Yeah, oh yeah, then that's next too.
Next,
that's,
yeah, like, it's tomorrow.
15 people in to 3,000. That's a normal that's a normal progression.
Yeah.
Today we're going to talk about guns, the totally not controversial or even a little bit, I don't know what to say.
I feel like we're going to take a little bit of a different perspective on it because it's not just, I feel like everything I'm hearing, especially from the left side, which is like most of my friends, people I follow, you know, it's just like guns suck, y'all are dumb, but we're going to kind of explore it a little bit more than that.
Yeah. But first, a quick correction. A couple of people pointed out that the Eagle is not technically a national chain. The Eagle Bar, which is there's like one in every city.
Yeah, which is surprising. Yeah, I've heard about the New York Eagle, and yeah, just we have one in Seattle, and I just thought they were
all the
same thing.
There's one in Minneapolis, which trapped those football players there because they thought
they were going for
their team from Philadelphia. So I just want to throw that correction out there and then say I looked into it. A couple of people sent in articles, and that's a really interesting story. So we'll have an episode about that sometime in the near future.
Okay. We've gotten some great emails. One of my favorite, direct to the point, quote, by the by, I'm bi and I make pie. Nick.
Okay. Nick, thank you for writing in. I really appreciate that. But if you remember, we said we needed to have a video of you eating pie and being into people of both genders.
Yeah. Yeah. We got no such proof. This could be, maybe your name isn't Nick. Maybe it's Lick. Maybe it's Schmick. Maybe you're not bi. Maybe you're bi-curious.
What if it's Nick the Dick from Philadelphia Eagles?
Big Dick Nick.
Big Dick Nick.
Nick. Erase all the other things we cared about. Send us your dick. It's cool.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
It'll be totally fine. So potentially bi people might make pie.
Anecdotal evidence of pie making.
We have no pictorial proof.
Yep.
Pictorial. Ew, that word sounds gross.
It does.
I don't like that I said that.
Yeah. Sounds like a centerfold thing.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like something Hugh Hefner would say. Is he dead?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
He's real dead.
He didn't say that recently.
Just in the last year, too, I think.
Oh. But somehow he still gets more women than most men.
More than I do.
More than, or want to. Another one. So Jacob sent us a message. He bought his first two sex toys.
Oh.
After listening to us. What are they, Jacob?
What are they?
What two sex toys did you buy?
And did I sell them to you? Like, should I get a cut of the commission on
yes.
these?
Yes. I don't know why you would get a cut of him. Because we urged people. If it was like a Teledildonics dildoninator, then we definitely need a cut because that we were pushing those hard.
The hardest.
So hard and messy. Also, he sent us $100 wine voucher, which
oh,
is
right.
so
yeah.
sweet. What we're going to do is one, wine it up.
Yep.
Wine Town. We're going to downtown to Wine Town. That's not a place. It's a place in my head that I get to when I drink wine. But yeah. we're also going to donate $100 to a charity.
instead of just accepting that voucher, we're going to take the $100 and donate it to the Trevor Project.
To the Trevor Project. I didn't know if we had decided that.
Or we hadn't, but I just... okay. That sounds better than some charity.
We at some point will vaguely donate some money to something. I also thought...
Or the Human Rights Campaign. Either one.
No, I thought Trevor Project in my head. That was the first one.
Great.
Sorry, HRC, you got second billing, yeah, and you didn't make the cut.
The Trevor Project, which has nothing to do with my ex-husband.
That is, I also think, like, that must be weird for you to... Anyway, Trevor Project is a great organization that helps LGBT youth. Saying the word youth automatically makes you old. Okay, young LGBTQ young people that...
Not kill themselves.
It helps prevent suicide, which there's a lot of in our world, and especially for youth.
Yep.
Okay. I have a Kyle Reads the News article.
Okay.
So in new, now, next, there was something that was new, now, and next. And a cop in New Jersey.
I disagree with the naming of this.
Okay.
Because new, now, next, that's... It can't be now and next at the same time.
Okay. Dear, this has turned into a letter to the editor. Dear, new, now, next.
Rethink your brand.
You can't be that.
Thank you.
Okay. According to new, sometime in the general present, next. Okay. Does that work? That's a little sure. better. A little less alliterative, but that's fine. A cop in New Jersey is suing the sheriff for homophobic harassment and wrongful termination. And from everything I read, it's like totally legit. He was called homo and fag. He was asked invasive.
Is he a homo?
Yeah, he's gay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, okay, go ahead.
But, like, it doesn't sound like they were doing it pleasantly.
Yeah. I mean,
sup, homo?
I work with frat guys. I hear that sometimes, right? Like, they call each other fag or whatever. And that,
like two straight guys?
Yeah. Yeah, and that doesn't mean it's true. So that's why I was clarifying, like, is this actually a gay cop or...
Yeah, I don't feel great about two straight guys talking to each other saying, sup, fag.
Yeah, me neither. It's upsetting.
Oh, okay. It's a whole other thing. Okay, straight guys. You have so many words you can use. Pick another one. People asked him invasive questions about his HIV status.
Ooh.
One of his coworkers accused him of having AIDS and told people not to touch him. Like, This is not that. Are you serious?
Yeah. 1990 called. They want their feelings about AIDS back.
They want their paranoia and homophobia back.
Well, in case anybody out there is that dumb and listens to us, which I think that's actually
pretty good subsection of our demographic.
You can't get AIDS by just touching somebody.
No, you need to get, like, blood.
Semen.
You need to either be a Dracula or a semen Dracula.
What? A semen Dracula.
You know, like, they're not...
I love that so much.
They're just... I'm a semen Dracula.
I guess.
I'll suck your semen. Okay, but this is not what I actually wanted to bring up. I wanted to bring up a line from the article. It said, quote, he was mocked for being girlish despite being an ex-Marine. And that line particularly stood out. I think in general, this writer, you know, it's a news article, so I don't think they're supposed to take sides. But
I mean, doesn't that line imply that girls can't be Marines?
There's that. There's, like, does it matter that he was an ex-Marine? Like, should he be called girlish? It implies that girlish is a, like, there's just so many things wrapped up in that one phrase.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's like, no. He wasn't girlish. He was butch. Like, that makes it as if calling a, like, sissy gay girlish is cool, or, you know, like, it's just, there's a lot of weird things wrapped up in that.
Yeah.
Sentence and phraseology.
Yeah.
If I may.
How dare they feminize our armed forces like that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, even the ladies are men in the army, in the Marines.
No. That might be true, though.
This is bad trans joke. Sorry, trans people. You are great.
No, it's Trump's America. They can't be in the army anymore.
No, they didn't. They, like, say no. We're back in.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
that was the official ruling. The judge banged the hammer stick and said, no, you're back in. gavel. So that was Kyle Reads the News.
This is not a reading of the news because I didn't actually have an article, but did you watch the Oscars last night?
Yeah, no.
No?
That was, I don't know why I thought I did suddenly, because I tried so hard to watch it through the internet, but people are still dumb and don't let me watch it through the internet. It's so fucking annoying. Yeah. I'm not going to buy your cable package.
Yeah.
Like, so I just did, like, it's not that I'm going to buy your cable package since you won't let me watch it on the internet. I'm just not going to watch it and then watch it on YouTube later.
You can on Xbox, or at least I was able to watch the Golden Globes on Xbox.
You probably have to like plug in. I looked at like, you have to like plug in your cable thing package that you have. And
oh, maybe you might have, yeah, or you like, might be right.
In Hulu, it only works in certain zip codes. Fuck TV. Like, just give me, let me watch things on the internet. I demand demandingly.
Good job.
Thanks.
Is okay. It fixed yet?
Yes. They I just received word.
So did you see Adam Eyebrow's Ripon's tuxedo on the red carpet?
Yep.
He wore a like pretty basic looking tuxedo, except had a leather harness on.
The jacket had like leather on the shoulders, and then it looked like the harness went over his white dress shirt, but under like parts of it went under the jacket.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gone a full 180 on him. Like, you know, when we first talked about him, I was like,
now that he's a leather daddy, you're just like, do it to me.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Why are you wearing that white shirt? Why weren't you wearing not that white shirt and just the leather harness?
Yeah.
No, I loved the, like, you know, the, it's just like it was a super gay, cool thing that I bet people, not everyone got, and I loved it. It was awesome.
Yep. Super gay.
Yeah. And all the pictures that showed of him, like, were just straight faced.
Yep.
And like, he just looked like, yeah, I got a harness on. Okay. Sup.
Fucking deal with it.
Yeah. And my eyebrows are great. What are you going to do about it? I could double somersault twirl your neck off. I don't know things about figure skating. I can't
even
say.
After we did a figure skating episode, you just don't know anything.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just wanted to mention his tuxedo because it was fantastic.
Did you hear Frances McDormand's equality writer, inclusion writer comment that's making some buzz?
No, but I'm terrified of her. Doesn't she look scary?
She just looks like, if an energetic puppy, like, was also a serial killer. Like, she just looks like her eyes would constantly be open and she would, like, be hard to sit still. She just seems like, I don't understand her. When I look at her, I don't get, it doesn't make sense to me. It's like Picasso. It's just like, what are you a painting of?
Yeah.
Frances McDormand.
She gives off this uneasy aura that I feel nervous about whenever she's on, which is good because it commands attention. I'm like, yes, I will listen to whatever you say as long as you don't kill me.
Yep,
through
exactly.
Through the TV somehow.
She's going to The Ring style crawl through the TV and just act until you're dead. She won.
We should manufacture and sell gayish branded Frances McDormand. It's just her face looking intense at you.
Hi. Maybe it just says hi in the corner.
Welcome.
At the end of her speech, she said, I have two words for you. Inclusion writer, which, and then everyone was like, what the fuck's an inclusion writer? Apparently, you could, in your contract, put big stars could say the, you know, tertiary characters of any kind of TV or movie need to be diverse. Mm. It needs to be representatively diverse. Representatively? That's probably a word. Reflecting whatever location they're in.
Okay.
So it can't just be like a bunch of white dudes in the background. Like, it needs to, which I love that idea.
So I saw your tweet from the Gayish account about that.
Yeah.
And now I wonder if it's not writer, but if it's rider, like a contract writer.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh, okay. Maybe I just misread it.
Yeah, probably. Because I'm, you know me and I'm perfect.
Well, yeah.
So it's definitely your fault.
Yep.
Great. Glad we settled that.
Great.
I'm treating you like a Francis McDormand.
Yeah, thank you.
Walking all over you.
Just do it. Just don't kill me. Don't hurt me, Francis.
Do you want to talk about guns?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
I have a new segment.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
I have a new segment.
This is even new to me.
I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be fun. I unilaterally decided for this week, but we can, in the future, we can work on it together. Okay. It is the listener one-liner of the week.
Okay.
And it is, if it fits in 140 characters or less and it's hilarious, I will read it on the air.
Do you know Twitter expanded its text count?
The point is, don't write a fucking novel and expect it to be something that I read. It's not going to happen. It needs to be just short and happy and a sentence and hilarious and not too long.
Okay. Do you have one?
Yep.
Okay.
This one is from Scott Schwartz of Chicago, Illinois, who says, quote, observation of the day. If your grinder or scruff pick is you with your cat, you just scream, fist fuck me. True though.
I hate cats so much. They're like the Francis McDormand of animals. They terrify. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what they're doing. I don't understand them.
Yep.
I love that. Do you wait, was that from a Twitter thing?
That was a direct message on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Yep. But send in your one-liners of the week and we will read the best one.
Cool. Now I'm introducing a new segment.
Oh God. You just wanted to talk about guns a second ago. You just came up with this so that you could surprise me and like revenge.
I'm feeling left out.
Okay, great.
So the segment of the week is called Kyle Flips Mike Off.
You're bad at that.
Why?
Cause you're just like your fingers just straight up in the air.
That's exactly
like you've got to have some, you got to have some panache to it.
Hey, Mike,
like put some like,
no, your dumb fingers. You don't like the rest of your fingers shouldn't be. It looks like you tried to play guitar with four of your fingers and they just got stuck in that position. I disagree.
Yours looks like you've got some sort of problem with your knuckles.
No, they're right. They're just chilling. This is the furthest distance my knuckles can be from the top of my finger, and that's the most fuck you I can offer.
All right, we're going to post a picture in the Facebook group of both Kyle and I flipping off the camera, and it's going to be a bird off, and everybody can vote on whose is less dumb. And the answer is mine.
They were doing pretty good. They took a weird turn when they tried to introduce all these segments that no one could see. Okay, do you want to talk about guns?
Yeah, let's talk about guns.
Okay.
Scares me.
Guns or this segment?
Both.
Okay, sure. Yeah, me too. Why don't you say things about them to me?
Okay, well, so we're talking about guns, and I figured what's the gayish angle?
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to talk about the Orlando Pulse nightclub shooting.
I'm glad you're not talking about something up your butt with guns.
I someone at some time must have put the barrel of a gun up their own ass.
I'm sure. And like, how, like accidents with that. I just can't. Ooh. Okay. Sorry. Let's not talk about that. Anyway.
Yeah. Speaking of people who want things up their ass, but in a sad way.
That's a good transition.
For people who don't know, on June 12th, 2016, a guy named Omar Mateen, who was a 29-year-old security guard, killed 49 people and wounded 58 others in the Pulse nightclub, which was a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida. Now, it was at the time the deadliest mass shooting in United States history. That record only lasted for a year because then the Las Vegas shooting happened, which killed more people. But it's still the deadliest U.S. shooting in which the killer did not commit suicide.
And it particularly targeted the Latino community.
Yeah. Well, so it was Latin night, which I think is just every night in Orlando, but,
the city is Latin night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Will Smith.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, it's unclear whether he was targeting Latin people or if it just happened to be primarily Latin people because that's who was there.
Oh.
But it was mostly, you know, it was a lot of Latinx folks that were the victims. So everyone focused primarily on his ties to ISIL or ISIS. And, you know, the politics of that, I'm not sure how much to go into, but it was pretty obvious that they were desperate to make it seem like he was as foreign, as Muslim, as extremist as possible. But one of the things that people might not know or remember is the rumors about his sexuality.
I only remembered that when you told me earlier. Like, I completely forgot about that part of it.
Yeah, and I think because it was mostly successful that they tried to pin this on religious extremism. So, let's see. An unnamed police academy classmate said that Mateen asked him out around 2006, and that they had spent time at gay bars together after class going through the police academy, and that he believed that Mateen was gay.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. He also said that Mateen was socially awkward and disliked by their classmates.
Oh. Well, I guess I can't feel too bad for this guy. Like, yeah.
Wait, which guy? Mateen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Don't humanize him.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm like, oh, he felt rejected. Yeah. He just went and murdered people. Okay.
A man who self-identified as Mateen's lover of 2 months, Miguel, stated that he believed the massacre was out of revenge against Latino men because Mateen learned that he may have been exposed to HIV from a Puerto Rican man with whom he had had sex.
So there are two different people that say it's related, that think or confirm or whatever that he's gay.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And trying to provide motive for the crime. That the reason that he was going to this club on this night was to go and kill Latinx people because he banged a Puerto Rican. And the Puerto Rican said, oh, I'm HIV positive. You might have HIV now.
Jesus.
Now, the autopsy results said, nope, he didn't have HIV. But still, I mean, it doesn't matter. If he thought he might and he's crazy, then he went and decided to get revenge.
I feel like so many gay, like where the gay person is murdering, like gay men specifically, where they are the murderer. That's a weird word. Is like... I lost my train of thought because I thought of the murderous rural juror. Anyway, hey, Mike.
Hey, Kyle.
How's it going?
Good. How's this?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Just chilling, chillaxing. Okay. I was saying something about a point that was great.
Is it too soon to say that they changed the name to the No Pulse nightclub?
It's always gonna be too soon for that. So I feel like when the gay men that are murderers tend to, like, a lot of them are connected back to, they're angry at the gay community, and something related to HIV or AIDS.
Yeah. Like, well, and I don't know if there's a pattern here, but the fact that they or gay, or there were signs that they were gay, but their outward life wasn't gay, that there's this repression, right? Like, some sort of recognition that they are gay or attracted to same sex on the inside, but then their real life, not so much. For instance, this Mateen guy was married to his second wife, and they had a son together, despite all of this stuff that fed into the crime, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just goes to show that, like, denying who you are and stuffing it way down inside and trying to deny that makes you crazy.
Yeah. Although, I mean, you and I both denied and stuffed things down and we didn't kill anyone.
And I'm a fucking train wreck.
I mean, when you get close to shooting up the nightclub, let me know. No, but so, like, this guy had to have some kind of other, like, I completely agree. That's fucked up. It does not help anything. It's really bad for people. But, like, he also had to have some kind of, like, psychotic or something thing about him that would make this an okay option versus the rest of us who just cry in our rooms.
Yeah. And there's also a religious aspect to this, right? That he was Muslim.
Okay. When I meet someone who I think is gay, but is not outwardly gay.
Yeah.
Always want to know about their religion, and like if I can ask them about it and then they say like, yes, I am Christian, I'm Muslim, I'm whatever, then I'm like, oh, got it, it's your religion. Like, that's just I know that's like way too broad and blanket assumption, but that's just what I do.
If they say Catholic or Mormon, I'm like, oh, honey.
Yep. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Let's talk when you're ready. To.
Yeah. Here's my card. You'll need it sometime in the next, you know, 1 to 20 years. I promise.
Yep.
So gay.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Some more stuff about this dude, Mateen. At least 4 regulars at Pulse said that they had seen him in the nightclub before.
Wow.
On no fewer than 12 occasions. One of them said that he would sometimes become drunkenly loud and belligerent, and at other times he would drink in a corner by himself.
Which goes to show you, always fuck the drunkest person in the room.
Yeah, right.
They may be crazy and kill you.
You are saving lives.
You are saving lives if you sit on a drunk dick as best you can. You wiggle that soft puppy right into your holescape.
And another witness said that he had accounts on Grindr and Adam for Adam. And
we know Adam for Adam is where all the murderers are.
Right.
A disproportionate amount of gay murderers are on Adam for Adam. I almost guarantee you.
If they're not robots, they're a murderer.
Yeah.
If they're neither a robot nor a murderer, they're gross. Like,
yeah.
Okay. And a third witness said that he would try to pick up men at the nightclub at Pulse.
Sounds pretty like. I mean, he sounds pretty gay based on all that stuff.
Yep. But according to the FBI, they think that the witnesses are mistaken. They officially doubt that he was gay. They said that the FBI found no photographs, text messages, smartphone apps, pornography, or cell tower location data that suggested Mateen lived a gay life, closeted or otherwise. Which, okay. I mean, maybe he didn't take his cell phone when he went to the bar. Maybe he deleted all of that shit the day before because he was going to go commit this crime. I don't know, but the FBI at least officially says that there's no evidence to support those claims.
Huh. That's so crazy, especially with like at least 6 people saying like either we hooked up or he asked me out or he was at the bar. Like,
yep. Well, and then maybe they needed him to be not a repressed gay rage domestic terrorist, right? That doesn't help us go to war in Afghanistan.
Mm.
So
yeah, so they guided it towards a political outcome rather than like trying to find the truth.
Yeah, they didn't try very hard to connect those dots because
Mike, are you claiming that our government might have its own bias and end goal? And may guide things that way instead of following the truth and what's best for us?
I don't know.
That's preposterous.
So, Mateen's first wife, his ex-wife, claimed that his dad had called him gay while in her presence. And her current fiancé said that she, his family, and others believed that he was gay. And that, quote, the FBI asked me not to tell this to the American media.
Shut the fuck up. FBI, why are you so secret? Why are you keeping so many secrets? I don't get it. They asked him if he was gay. He took the dick out of his mouth and said no. And then he kept going.
Maybe FBI stands for fucking butthole invaders.
Just keeping that under wraps.
Yep.
Under the wrap of a belt.
Yep.
Or a cute pashmina.
The last thing I'll say about him, his father, Mir Sadiq Mateen, said that Mateen had gotten angry just the day before. Oh, no, the same day of the shooting. He had seen him get angry after seeing a gay couple kiss in front of his family, which he suggested might have been a motivating factor. Like, he was that not gay that when he saw gay people kiss, that made him snap and he went on this rampage.
Might be like the straw that broke the homo's crack.
Yep.
That I did not know all that stuff, and there's like conspiracy in there. Wow,
I know, right? It's a twisted, sordid tale.
What a exactly.
And the feel good story of 2016. I all kidding aside, I know that I mentioned it before, but I was in Orlando for a fraternity conference last summer, and I and a bunch of gay fraternity brothers went there to pay our respects, and it's just it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's an incredibly powerful place to visit, and to see the outpouring of support from the community and the little shrines and like flowers and messages in that parking lot. The club is closed now, by the way.
Hmm.
It was really intense and really powerful. And I know that we made some jokes about it, but it definitely is not funny.
Yeah.
How about that, downer?
We made some jokes, but it's not funny. So do I need to cut all the jokes? I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. We're good people. We promise. We're good. Great. So that happened. Let me take you to a better time. So that was, you mentioned June 12th.
Yep.
2016.
Yep.
On November 8th, 2016, Donald Trump takes office.
No.
Okay. Elected.
He was elected president. Inauguration day's in January.
Sure.
He's been president since January of 2017.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. He takes office in the election.
He was elected.
So, I'm trying to make my thing molded into something right.
I mean, yeah. If you end up editing it, you could probably get it, like, anything that you need said.
Hold on. I'm going to read the dictionary so I can edit anything together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A.
Mm-hmm. Aardvark.
Aardvark. Apple. Okay. According, I read an article in the Huffington Post that said...
Fake news.
Oh, okay. that said that in 2017, there was a 86%...
Ooh, Freudian slip.
Ooh, hey, everybody. You know what I'm thinking about. Yeah, that's right. This is Late Night Kyle with Kyle.
Guns make your dick hard.
Stick it up my ass and hope nothing goes off. Okay.
Good Lord. Okay.
So, serious topic of guns. 2017, there was 86% increase in LGBT hate-based homicides. So some stats about those hate-based LGBT hate-based homicides. 71% were LGBT people of color. So we know that people of color tend to be overly represented. Like, you know, I've been looking a lot at the trans murders that have been happening.
Yep.
They tend to be people of color.
Yep.
45% of them occurred to cisgendered men during a hookup.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Don't
bang where you can be seen by somebody with a gun.
So is that just anywhere? Is there anywhere you can't be?
I don't know. I like
shot with a gun.
My bedroom has like only one window and it is always closed.
No, it's not like through the window. It's like the person you're hooking up with.
Oh, oh no. Honestly, when you first said that, I thought, okay, so that's like somebody with a gun,
like a sniper,
stumbles upon two dudes banging and they're like, oh, this is fucking stupid. And they then they shoot them.
I'm just thinking of like what straight, like, I don't know why straight people care so much about what I put in my butt. But like, that is the scenario that straight people worry about. They're like walking casually down the street and then they trip over something and look back and like, oh my God, that's two dudes fucking. What are you doing?
This has got to stop.
You can't. It's like during the hookup, they like get killed.
What you're saying is far more terrifying, which is,
yes,
like, hey, come over, let's hook up, and then blammo.
And then, Batman shows up and blammo. Kapow. Yeah, they get dead. Hey, everybody, have you considered not hooking up with anyone ever? Or being a person of color? Because that's how you don't die. So I wanted to mention those two things because they were interesting. And then, lastly, more to the point, 59% of victims were killed with guns.
Mm-hmm.
So a good amount of the hate-based homicides were committed with guns. So between...
The guns didn't kill them. The people killed them.
The guns were along... They were in it. They were accomplices. They agreed to the murder. They helped plan out. They were the 13th person in the Ocean's 13th. The gun was finally reluctantly showed up at the table and was like, you know what? I'm in it for the last time, boys. And then he ends up saving the young Ruffigan that you know, he sacrifices his old self for the young one. And that's who goes on to be the lead character of the next movie. Okay, this has been Kyle's Movie Corner. I just want to have a segment, Mike. Okay. I didn't have a segment that I made up. It's okay. I don't feel anything about it. So between like the Pulse nightclub, none of that takes into account the Pulse nightclub. That's kind of a separate thing in the numbers they look at.
Like it didn't count?
Well, it doesn't count. Like this is more like, yeah, they don't count mass shootings in like these homicide numbers.
Okay.
Because like mass shootings are its own category of shit.
Okay.
So between like Pulse in 2016, Trump gets elected. A lot of people are then you're like very nationalist. I feel like nationalist is the nice way to say racist. And I shouldn't, I don't know if I should say that.
What?
I don't know what I just said. Nationalist is.
No, you're right. Okay. It's absolutely right.
All right. Or you just do some racist things sometimes that, okay. So, like LGBT people are scared. Like even right now, but especially during that time, it's a scary time for people, like rightfully so, because LGBT people more than other people are getting murdered. So I read an article in Motherboard by Ian Birnbaum that he wrote in March 2017. And Ian mentioned that the FBI doesn't release race data for their background checks, but anecdotally, after Trump's election, gun store owners reported a fourfold increase in minority customers.
Yeah.
And there are a few examples of LGBTQ people that used guns that Ian interviewed, and one who is my favorite, Jacob. This is not the Jacob, huh? Or maybe it is the Jacob that gave us the one. Jacob's everywhere.
No, Jacob.
Jacob too, I guess. His name, Jacob Cruz, who is bi. I don't know if he makes pie. The article did not clarify. I don't know why. I'll stop there. Okay.
Oh my.
Okay. Grew up in Fort Davis, Texas, which has a population of 1,200 people. He said that in general, he was not a big fan of guns, but he said his family were ammosexuals.
Oh God.
That's the only reason I included anything in here about Jace.
They put bullets up their ass?
They were the ones that are just shoving guns up their butt and they're like, yeah, let's do this. It's like,
I suppose in their vagina, we should be, all-inclusive. Not gender specific.
Yeah. You're just putting bullets up your orifices.
If you do like gun oral, what do you like?
Oh,
probably shouldn't make that joke because it's suicide.
It'll blow your mind. Oh, we're terrible. This is an educational podcast that teaches you educational things.
Yep, we're leading the way to hell. We're showing you how to get there.
This confirms that people that listen to us are either dumb or stupid. Wait, those are synonyms. Damn it. Are either dumb or horrible. Okay. Jacob too also said, he acknowledged the risk. Like he knows that I feel like the people that at least Ian talked about this article, like they understand what's going on. Jacob was like, I know that it's risky, that the numbers show that it's risky to have a gun in your house. But he said, quote, we have a lot of dangerous things in our lives that are useful. So we accept those risks. So like a car is a dangerous thing that you just accept the risk. So it just seems like, after Trump was elected and after the Pulse nightclub shooting, LGBT people, queer people were just like, the risk of owning a gun is worth it because I am scared.
Yeah.
Which is, that's shitty.
I felt similarly.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah. So what we're going to do now, instead of reading about people from our mouths.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to someone.
You're going to talk to somebody.
With our mouths. We are going to talk to one of my best friend's brothers.
Okay.
Who is gay. His name is also Michael.
Okay, that's fine.
So we'll call you Mike and him Michael. Okay. So we are going to talk to Michael Buss, who is a gun owner, lives in Texas.
A gay gun owner in Texas.
Yep.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Are we back?
No, we're not doing that.
Okay.
It's not what we're doing.
We're back.
We're back. We never left. Thank you for joining us. We are talking about guns. And, you know, when I talk about guns, I think about you.
I don't know how that makes me feel, but let's get into it.
I think specifically because you talked about when you actually got a gun, and that conversation really stands out in my mind. So would you mind talking about when and why you bought your first gun?
Sure. My first and only. I actually purchased my gun following a run-in with law enforcement.
Ooh.
So in Austin, I was living in Austin, Texas at the time, and I was driving at night through a neighborhood, which is a very nice, affluent neighborhood. I drive a pretty new Honda, but I guess it wasn't fancy enough. So I was being trailed by a police officer because I guess they don't see that many non-fancy cars in their neighborhood.
Well, I was just going to ask. And so it's really unfortunate that I have to ask this, that it's relevant to the conversation. But are you white? Are you a person of color?
I am white. I am white.
Okay. I mean, like, that ups the danger level, like, by 10 times if you're...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Which I didn't... I don't think I properly knew at the time. But it kind of came to light in the conversation that I had with the police officer. So I was driving through this neighborhood. I was going a little bit too fast, as I'm wont to do. And there was a stop sign, which I sometimes view more as a guideline than anything else. And I guess I had turned into the far lane instead of the near lane, which is apparently an offense under Texas law. And so I was pulled over by the officer, and I pulled into a church parking lot because, again, I was in Texas. And the officer came up, and I had at the time my concealed handgun license and my driver's license in my hand, because in CHL training class, they tell you if you're ever stopped by the police, you need to present both forms of identification just in case they think that maybe you have something going on. If you're not showing your ID, maybe that's because you're doing something shady.
Did you have, so you didn't have a gun, but you had a concealed handgun license?
That's correct. Okay. Yeah. I kind of did it the weird way. And I got my CHL first, mainly out of boredom. And because it kind of sounded like a fun thing to do. And so my boss at the time and I took a day off, on one of the kind of random federal holidays.
Texas.
And yeah. And so went and got her CHL. So I had my CHL, didn't have a gun, was pulled over. The officer came up to the window and he said, you know, son, you were speeding. You didn't stop at the stop sign and you turned in the wrong lane. So this is going to be a 3-offense ticket tonight. So do you want to have the ticket or would you like a lecture? And so I, you know, kind of fumbled out the words, you know, oh, I'll take the lecture. Thank you. He said, you know, son, us police officers are out here in the streets every day being gunned down. And our families are counting on good gun-toting citizens like you to be carrying your weapon at all times.
Oh my God.
So I need you to do whatever you can to always be carrying your weapon with you.
What?
And he, yeah, I'm not, I couldn't make this up. It's so insane. So he handed me my licenses back. He shook my hand and said, have a good night. So I, you know, left and I couldn't believe it. And so from then on, I thought, well, maybe, you know, I should have a gun. Maybe this is a good excuse to get a gun. I've always wanted one. I think they're kind of cool. And so I then decided to go and buy one, not realizing, you know, the potential negative impacts.
So about when was this? I don't remember if you said.
So this was in like June of 2015.
Okay.
So this was pre-coming out. I came out in August of 2015, which I don't know that has anything to do with my decision, but, you know, it's a, you know, something to potentially, I hadn't thought about that until recently when I was thinking through owning a gun that I, this was all pre-Pulse and all of the massive, kind of the mass shootings over the last few years, you know, I've gotten so desensitized to them that the first one that really kind of hit me and really, you know, other than Sandy Hook was Pulse. And this was of course after I had my gun and that was when I first really had my first negative thoughts about having a gun and kind of thought through the morality of having one.
You were saying you're not sure if it's connected. The reason you wanted to buy one was connected to being gay or coming out, even though it was around the same time period. How are you feeling about that connection right now? Where would you land right now?
I don't think that it had something to do with it, but at the time I was kind of struggling with how to come out and who to come out to first and how to go about the process. Cause I wanted to be super methodical about it because, that's just the way that I'm kind of wired. So I think maybe it was just some last shred of, you know, heteronormativity, you know, being in Texas, that I just wanted to feel that I was like, you know, a classically straight person by owning one, because, you know, everyone else that I knew who I kind of looked up to as important people in my life, they all had them. So I thought that maybe that was kind of a way of belonging.
It also, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but here I go. like, it seems like in a time that you didn't have a lot of control, like buying a gun is something you can control.
Yeah, for some reason, I think that there's something to that. I don't think that I felt like I was in control, and it's not that I was living in a, you know, a bad neighborhood. There was, I wasn't driving through bad parts of town. I mean, I was living north of campus, you know, in central Austin, and I was driving to, you know, downtown off, you know, West 6th Street. It wasn't a, you know, a rough area of town. I know you, Kyle, you know where I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I guess part of me just wanted to feel like I was more in control. But then again, it's not until recently that I've really thought through why I bought it in the first place.
So you say that your mind has changed or that you're in a different place now. Was there a catalyst for that? Was there an incident of some kind, or is this a slow evolution on your part?
I think it's been a slow evolution. Definitely Pulse was the first time. I remember waking up that next morning and the news was still kind of coming through. It was, you know, on Twitter, there'd be 14 confirmed dead and then 27 confirmed dead. And then it got up to, you know, 49 or 50, however many it was. And that really, like I had a really awful feeling in my stomach. And I think it was around that time that I also stopped carrying my weapon with me, because I realized how silly and unnecessary it was. And I've been thinking through ways to get rid of it, but you know, whenever I start thinking about how to get rid of it, it's just a scary thought of, you know, this gun is in some way tied to me. I feel like I have responsibility over it and I need to make sure that it's, you know, locked away forever and not used for bad.
Yeah. The cool thing is in Seattle, you can compost guns. So they just go right with your Apple course.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really convenient.
We don't believe in recycling in Texas.
No. Landfill forever. So everyone assumes that in Texas, it doesn't matter who you are. You have a gun. Everyone owns guns. So they wouldn't be too surprised that a gay Texan has a gun. What's your feelings of that stereotype of Texans, and do your gay friends have guns?
None of my gay friends have guns that I'm aware of, mainly because it's not something that I really talk about anymore. I think I had to, like, you know, break the news to the guy that I'm currently seeing about it, and he was taken back a bit, and he still remains taken back a bit by it. And so I keep it kind of far out of sight and, you know, locked away.
You had to come out to your boyfriend.
Yeah.
As a gun owner.
As a gun owner. Exactly.
I love it.
So that welcome to Texas.
Do you have any final thoughts on guns?
I think that guns should be, if not impossible, nearly impossible to obtain. We should make it as difficult as possible. You should have to wait to purchase a gun. You should have to go through some sort of intensive screening process. And less guns will mean less violence, and especially less violence towards people who, you know, can't help themselves. I think the majority of deaths that occur by gun are by suicide. And if there are less guns available, I think I read somewhere that the survival rate of a suicide attempt by gun is only 4%. Whereas if someone attempts suicide by cutting or by pills, it's over 90%.
Wow.
And so that alone should, you know, warrant some sort of discussion.
Yeah.
Well, there goes our NRA sponsorship. Thanks, Michael.
We've gotten pressure to cut ties with the NRA recently. Cool. I had no idea about those stats, so thank you for that too.
Don't ask me for the studies on that one, because like you, Kyle, I didn't do any formal research. But
I give guests a pass.
I know, and it's so fucking annoying. Yeah, I was going to make a joke about gays with limp wrists holding guns, but it seems less funny now that you brought up suicide.
I apologize.
So that's, you should.
Well, Michael Buss, thank you very, very much for being on. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure.
Should we take a break?
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break! Don't break it.
Part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Mike.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a lot of energy to do things like record an ad.
Boy, it sure does.
You have to think of a topic. You have to think of something witty to say.
Yeah.
It can be kind of draining sometimes.
Absolutely. And I like being drained, but not in this way.
Life can be draining with more social commitments after the winter. People expect that you're going to hang out, spend more time together, and that can be draining.
Especially in Seattle when the sun starts coming out, and that's when all the people in the world come back asking for your time.
Yep.
I need better boundaries, I think.
Yeah. So therapy helps me process what my social life should look like and how I deal with my social battery, how I invest my time and my effort.
Yeah, me too. And it helps me get those boundaries that I was talking about, or at least remember to try to keep them.
Yep. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/gayish today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gayish.
BetterHelp.com/gayish. Do it.
Do it.
Mike, when we started our podcast, there were no other gay podcasts.
Zero.
Zero.
None whatsoever.
We were the very first.
We blazed our own trail. Our own treasure trail. We shaved it.
Just like Harry's blazed their own trail because there were no other razors before they existed.
Right. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by questionable products in the shaving industry, decided to do something better.
I use Harry's and it gives me a smooth, fresh looking face when I shave around my beard, and I really like their products.
Yeah, I do too. The razors are really, really good, but also I enjoy the body wash. I think it smells super awesome. I use the fig flavor pretty regularly.
Well, if you want to get in on the action, don't settle for the status quo. Blaze your own trail with Harry's. Get started with a $13 set for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
Yeah, it's a 5-blade razor with a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/gayish.
That's harrys.com/gayish for a $3 trial set.
Yeah, get it.
Do you remember what it was like when PrEP came out?
I sure do, yes. It was a big deal because everybody was like, now we don't have to worry about HIV/AIDS anymore, which is pretty huge for the community.
Yeah. Well, imagine that, but for STIs. Imagine a world where STIs are a thing of the past.
Everyone's been talking about DoxyPep, and that's because it's 90% effective at curbing STIs like chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. You don't want any of those. DoxyPep can make them not happen to you.
And DoxyPep from Shameless Care is one of the places you can get a hold of it. They are a top telemedicine provider with board-certified physicians across all 50 states with one mission, making DoxyPep accessible and affordable.
The process is hassle-free. Answer some medical questions on their HIPAA-compliant online platform, and one of their physicians will prescribe DoxyPep to you. Viola! It's shipped straight to your door in discreet packaging.
It is affordable, just $109 a year, and that covers your online evaluation, the medication, and the shipping.
So ready to rewrite your story? Ready to rediscover the joy of carefree intimacy? Visit shamelesscare.com/gayish and take control of your sexual health.
That's shamelesscare.com/gayish. Your liberation is waiting.
Your liberation. Are we back?
We're back.
We're back.
You're back.
You're back.
I'm back.
We're back.
Everyone's back. We all scream for back.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest, but first.
But first.
Guess what, Kyle?
What?
Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Mike.
We're on Instagram now.
Yeah, barely.
Our Instagram is Gayish Podcast.
Yeah, it's the new addition to the fold of the gayish.
We're so good at Instagram.
Yep, just pictures abound. Just filters.
How many pictures do we have up there right now?
Somewhere between 3 and 4.
3.5 pictures. Go subscribe. What do the kids do these days to Instagram?
Like, you double click.
Join us.
You put in your email and your social security number.
Yep.
And then you wait for Jeeves to show up at your house with a Kodak. Instagram.
Polaroid. Great.
Polaroid. Okay. Also, I have some bad news for me.
Oh, God. What?
And good news for you.
Yay.
On our iTunes review, we got a couple more iTunes review. That's great. Yeah. The score is now, I'm counting people that like mentioned like this person, my favorite, or thanks to this person. You're at 3 and I'm at 1.
Yeah.
So two
Suck
new.
Suck it.
Don't you threaten that. I'll do it.
I know better than to say that to you.
So one person said, Mike is my fave. Yeah. Fuck you, idiot. Also, I mean, thank you so much for listening. Also, the latest review is from Gay Dad of One.
Oh.
That made me have feelings. But also, fuck you, Gay Dad of One. I hope your child kills you.
Good Lord.
Too much? Too harsh?
Somebody needs to write something nice about you so that you don't go crazy.
I don't have any feelings about this. Everything's cool. Gayest and straightest. I feel like you've got... I'll go.
Okay.
I just feel like you've... Okay. My straightest thing is I haven't had a haircut in so long. And I feel like gay people are supposed to be on point, get that shit covered, like... You know, particularly right now, it's like sides, like no one has hair on the sides of their head, or they have very little of it. And I have a lot of it and I feel like it's not looking great. But then I don't know.
Maybe it's just the circles that I run in, though. I feel like a lot of my gay friends are not only letting their hair just do whatever, they're encouraging me to let my hair do whatever. I've had at least 3 people say when I say I need a haircut, they go, no, you don't. Just like let it go for a while. I'm like, shut your fucking mouth. What kind of gay are you?
Maybe, have you ever let it grow longer?
Oh, it was like down to my shoulders in college for a while.
Okay. Well, there are limits that we need to discuss. Right. We need to have a safe word for your hair.
Okay.
My hair is terrible. Okay.
No, it's not terrible.
It's
been better, but it's not terrible.
It's a hard 5.
Which
not weird.
Need at least 6, right?
Yeah, for sure. Nope, everyone's beautiful the way they are. Okay, my gayest thing is, this is a new thing that I'm like starting to see a lot and get super on board with, is like being gender neutral in your references to people and things.
Oh.
Like a lot of people say his or her, like when they don't know the gender of the person they're talking about, like just fucking say they. Like, we get, I know, we've been using it as a singular pronoun for forever, so don't pretend like we haven't. Just say they. It's a lot easier. We'll get what you mean. Yeah. Or instead of men and women, just say people. Like, there's so many ways. It's super easy. Like, I'm still getting used to it, so, you just have to correct yourself. But then, like, once I get used to it, it's just going to be how I talk, and it's going to be fine. And then I'll... include more people.
What do we do when you're making an announcement, though, and you want to say, ladies and gentlemen? Do you just say, like, hey, bitches, listen up?
Bitches. I'm saying things. I don't know. Like, why do you need to say, what about, like, attention, everyone?
Yeah. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen et al. No, I don't know. Like, hello, people in their seats. I don't have a good answer for you right now, but I'm sure there are great ways to refer to. I mean, just say like, hey, everyone, what's up, homies?
All right.
What about you?
The straightest thing about me this week, I'm actually kind of embarrassed about, but I went to a fraternity conference this weekend in LA.
Yeah,
and met a whole bunch of people, had a lot of meals with groups of frat guys. And it was breakfast on Saturday, and I was asking this group of guys about their sleeping arrangements because they're undergrads and they're trying to do it on the cheap. So these seven dudes were sharing two hotel rooms. One of the rooms only had three guys in it. And so it could have been one person getting a bed by themselves and, and two in the other one, right? Except this kid goes, and I'm paraphrasing, in case anybody listens, I realize that was at that table. I know that I'm paraphrasing, but he said something to the effect of, I'm sleeping on the floor. I only share a bed if it's with a girl. To which, instead of challenging that or questioning that, I totally butched it up and laughed and said, oh yeah, I get that for sure.
God.
I feel terrible.
Yeah. I mean, like, I get, like, sometimes when you're in, like, situations, you, like, don't out yourself or don't say the thing you might really feel to kind of, like, just, you just don't want it to be a thing. And that's a weirdly, like, lucky thing that gay, lesbian, like, you know, when it's about your sexual identity and you're not super obvious, like, that's a kind of a lucky thing we can do.
Yeah.
But also kind of a, like, yeah, there's like a bit of a like self that's bad for yourself that you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is a teachable moment, right? To say, well, you know, that's kind of homophobic, yo.
Yeah. But then you have to like.
But then you have, it's a thing. And you have to, like, if it's uncomfortable, like that was at the beginning of breakfast. Like, then what? It's going to be the most awkward hour ever.
Yeah. Like, they're just going to have to quietly scoop their Fruity Pebbles into their mouth. Like. Just without talking.
I should have just, like, grabbed his face and put my mouth on his mouth.
That'll show him. Non-consensual kissing always gets your point across.
Especially since I'm an authority figure in the fraternity. That would have been... He would have had to go.
He has
with
to
it.
Kiss you.
Yeah, exactly. The gayest thing about me this week, I'm part of this underwear delivery service. I get a box of underwear every month, and that's gay enough. Mm-hmm. But... this month I got these underwear that have this like elastic circle that you're supposed to put your dick and balls through so that there's like another chamber for that part. And it's to make them really stick out.
Oh,
boy, do they.
Did you say dick and balls?
I think so. I mean, yeah, that's what I did. You're only supposed to put my dick in there?
I've never had a separate chamber for them. For me, they're either
the chamber
in
of
or
secrets.
Out. Where's that wand, Harry? I had something to say and then I forgot about it. So.
Dick and balls?
Dick and balls. Oh, my new podcast is called Dick and Balls with Kyle. No, I don't know.
All right.
Yeah. Cool.
Great. So that's it.
That's it.
This has been Gayish. A special thank you, as always, to Charlie Finn for the use of our theme music.
And thank you to Michael Buss for talking to us about his gun.
And thank you to Michael Buss's gun.
Thank you to Michael Buss's gun for not shooting anyone yet.
Thank you to Adam Eyebrows for his walk of awesome last night at the Oscars.
Harnessed BDSM inspired walk of greatness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Cool.
That's it. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you. See you next week.
If we don't get shot.
If we don't get shot. Bye, Getz.
Bye.
Bye.
And hear me as I will sing. Hey, and by the way, do you hear what your words bring? O.P.S. I'm gay-ish.
Did we do it? Did we podcast?